Yeah. Our God is a God without limit. And I just want to share with you for the next 20 minutes, 25 minutes this morning, of how God has been teaching me and dealing with my heart about limiting Him. You know. And I felt at one stage when, and I read Colossians right through, because I'm only going to be perhaps taking a couple of verses from it, but I thought I wanted to read the whole lot because it was such a challenge to my heart when I read it through. You know, sometimes we can almost be almost members of the Flat Earth Society. You know, we are limited by the thinking of men and the ways of the world. You know, and as people, we are limited. We can limit ourselves and limit God because of what the world is saying. But no, our God is a God without limits this morning. That's what I want to challenge you with. And before I go into Colossians, I just want to just read a few scriptures to you. And the first one is found in Ephesians 3 and 20. And it says these words, Ephesians 3, 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now this follows on by words like this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Those are the words that precede the verse that I've read, verse 20 this morning. You know, we can measure things in God, you know, almost the height, the length, the breadth. We can measure it our own way, because so often we limit God's height, we limit God's breadth, we limit God's depth because of our natural thinking, because we think as men and women, we think as people of the world. And I really believe, folks, that God wants us to see through those spiritual eyes I keep going on about, that we could see and imagine. Can you imagine the breadth of God's love for you, for this world, you know? Can you imagine the depth of his love? You know, it's only limited by our thinking. It's only limited by the way we can comprehend it. But it is, Scripture says, it is without limit. You know, we so often put God in the box. We've spoken and prayed about cancer this morning, and it's an emotive subject. The world seems to be cursed with cancer. Everything you hear, every story, somebody, you know. And straight away we think, well, it's not happened before. You know, we've never seen anybody come through, you know. Let's not limit God what he can do. We can find, I did a funeral a while back, and this guy had died of cancer, and I just felt in this congregation of people that there were people there who were shaking their fists at God. And I stood there before this big crowd of people, and I just sensed that they were like, the people in their hearts were shaking their fists at God. Why have you done this? Why have you taken this man from? Why have you done this? You know, and I just felt compelled to say to them, I said, there are people here today, and you're shaking your fist at God, and you're saying, why? Why now? Why him? And I said, I could make up all sorts of answers for you this morning. I could say all sorts of things that may sound nice to you and give you some reason for it happening. I said, but I don't know the reason why. I said, but this one thing I know, as I looked out on this crowd of people, I said, I know this. I know this man touched your life in a special way. That's why you've all come today. That's why you've all come together today, to stand with this man's wife and family in their time of need. You've come because he's touched your life. And I said, and, you know, I don't know the reason why he's gone, but I do know that he's touched your lives in a special way. And I say to you, church, this morning, I say this with a sincerity of heart, you know, we need to be about touching people's lives. You know, it is so easy to do our own things and to do what, you know, we want to do. But God says, like, you know, what legacy will you leave? You know, will you touch people's lives? And I really believe there's a call on the church at the moment to go and touch people's lives. All sorts of different ways we have. We can limit, you know, limit what God can do through us by our availability for Him. Our availability to do the thing He's called us to do. And our thinking and things like that, things like sickness and, you know, and I know people's hearts have been laid on in this church at the moment. I know there's several people here at the moment who feel like God is calling them to go minister to the sick, to the dying, to the needy, to people like that who need a touch from God. And that's good. And I pray that 2011 will be the year when that develops into such a thing that, you know, that we're ministering here, there and everywhere, because that's the call that God has placed on our lives. Don't limit God to what your past has been. Just look to the future and say, God, you know, this is what I feel the call is. Open ways for me that I can meet this need. I can go this way. You know, there is no limit to the width and the breadth and the height and the depth of God's love for you and for me, for this church. And God wants to take us on to do things. And we need to believe these words. Like, you know, I prayed in the back room this morning, like, you know, God has a treasure chest full of good things. And we're so often, as Christians, we look at the treasures and we say, yes, lovely, it's nice. You know, we need to start using the treasure, taking them out of the box, opening them up and letting the treasures. God's given us treasures in this word for a purpose. We need to know this word so that we can actually open the box and go and do as God's called us to do. Devil says, you know, just do as you've always done. You'll be all right. Don't break sweat about it. Like, you know, but God is calling us to make a difference in this world. He's calling us to touch other people's lives with the love of Jesus, in whatever way that is. You know, and you know individually the call God has placed. You know individually the skills God has given you. And this is a call. I believe 2011 will be that year of breakthrough. It'll be a year of moving into those areas we've never moved in before, doing things we've never done before. God will challenge, and I pray, you know, and I encourage you as a church, when God challenges your heart, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help me. You know, I've never done it before. Stop right there. Don't look at the fact that you've never done it before. Say, Lord, this is my opportunity. I'm taking this bit of treasure out of the box and I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it to touch the lives of people. You know, we serve a limitless God. There is always more with Him. Always, always more. To Him, look at these words now, to Him that is able. Not us who are able, to Him who is able to do exceedingly. Exceedingly. It's more than, you know, it exceeds the boundary that we place on it. You know, you can look at this lectern and you say, well, it's that wide, you know. And we can look at things in life the same. We can see a measure and say, well, it's around about there. With God, there is no limits. He can do, firstly, He's able. He is able, not us. He is able. Secondly, to do. Thirdly, exceedingly. Exceeds all our perceptions, our comprehensions, our imaginations. He can do exceedingly. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than enough. Not just scraping through, not just having, but abundantly. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Look at these words. Every single word talks about more than. You know, the words that we are not beneath, we are above. Children of God, we are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. You know, a lot so often the tail shakes the dog in the church today. We should be shaking the tail and saying, you know, we are the head. We tell the tail when to shake. So often we let the tail tell us what to do. You know, we react to what the tail does rather than saying, be still. You know, we just need to stand in God. I really believe, you know, God's really burdened my heart for this. You know, if we want to move on in next year, we're going to have to change our thinking. We're going to have to look at what He can do and not what we can do. So much we've limited ourselves to what we think we can do. Church, He can do all things, you know, and we can do, the Word says, all things through Christ who strengthens us, through Christ who strengthens me. Now, my God this morning, your God, He is able to do exceedingly. If you don't remember anything else about this message this morning, I want you to remember Ephesians 3:20. And every time you feel you can't do something, just say, I can't do it, Lord, but you can do this thing through me. You can help me to achieve this morning. You can do this thing. You can, because you're able, you can do things exceedingly, abundantly, above. And even the next little word, all, above all that we ask. You know, what have we asked Him for this morning? We've asked Him to heal, to touch. You know, He can do exceedingly abundantly above all of the things we've asked Him to this morning. Let's not limit Him this morning. There is always more with God. We serve a limitless God, and nothing is unobtainable in the spiritual realm. You see, we look at it in earthly realms. You see, we look on it at an earthly level. We see a microphone, you know, and we see things like that. And sometimes we can see needs and things in the church like that, just as things. You know, we need to look not only at the need, but the answer to the need. And the answer to the need in your life and my life, the life of this church, and the lives of many people in this area, is summed up in Ephesians 3:20, and that is that my God and your God is exceedingly abundantly able to do more than we can ever imagine. All that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, and it's His power that works in us. Let's start looking through those spiritual eyes. Jesus always walked in the Spirit. Think about that, man. You know, Jesus always walked in the Spirit. That's why He always said, I only want to say what the Father tells me to say. I only want to do what the Father tells me to do. You know, we should be walking as people. I know you may say, well, you know, life isn't like that. It can be like that. We can be walking and saying, Lord, how do I tackle this situation? Lord, give me a word for this person this morning. Help me to speak into this person's life. Lord, I'm challenged by what I've been asked. How do I respond? Give me the words to say. You know, that's how we should be walking. Walking in the Spirit, in the realms of Jesus didn't walk in a negative way. He walked in the realms that all things are possible. Because His Father said all things are possible. He was in tune with the Father every step of the way. The only limit on God is when we stop using our faith, when our faith fails. And we can get a situation where somebody will die. You know, it really just checks our faith, and we think, Lord, I prayed for this person, I've stood for this person, and why? You know, sometimes we will never have the answer. You know, and it's never trying to make up some answer that sort of satisfies us or satisfies someone. Sometimes we need to be honest, church, and they say, I don't know the answer, but He does. And one day we will know. And it's not a get out this morning, because so often we even say things to try and get us out of trouble, and it's better just to be honest and say, I don't know. There is no reason that this should happen. But find something good in that situation, you know. And I really encourage you to really get, you know, this is the treasure chest, this word. I've been on about it for a couple of years now, but I will keep on about it until we get hold of it. This word is the word that's going to change the lives of the people in this town. This word, you know. But it will not change the lives of people in this town while we have it buried deep within us. We've got to let the word out. We've got to do something with the word that God has equipped us with. You know, this is a book of equipping. This equips us with what we need to go and do and to go and be about the Father's business. You know, and I just really want to encourage you. So the only limit is when our faith gets a check. But Jesus, in Acts 3:16. This is the story about the lame man at the gate. Acts 3:16. And it says this here. Acts 3:16. And this is when he's sort of talking about what had happened with them when the lame man was healed. Said, and in his name, this was Peter and John, and in his name, in Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you now see. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence, you know. So when we're believing for people's healing, when we're believing for situations to change, we put our faith in Jesus, in his name, not in our things. You know, we may say, oh, I've got gifts, I've got sort of things. We do it in his name, in the name of Jesus. That's when success comes. This is when God breaks through, because we are acknowledging that without him, we can't do anything. So often we go in our own strength, trying to do things the way we see fit, rather than saying, God, lead me into this situation, and put that faith that Jesus had in your name. The word says, you read about when Jesus prayed for his disciples and for the church, you know, he was praying for them. He's praying for us, lifting us up, that we will have that faith as a mustard seed to believe in the impossible, to believe for miracles. You know, I don't know what you're believing for 2011. I'm just believing it's going to be of increase, not just numerically, but increase spiritually. I believe it's a year of increase in the word. We're going to see people come. I want to see the Holy Spirit break out in this place. I want to see bodies healed. I want to see chains broken. I want to see things like that accomplished in this place. It'll happen, not just because people will come in. People will come in when we challenge people to come in. People will come in when we're out there touching people's lives. And then that lady yesterday, really, she filled my heart that, you know, she just came for the Christmas Eve carol service and spent Christmas Day with us. And she was just like a member of the family. It's like as if she was like always been here with us. It's just something happened. And I'm just believing now that she's going to come through. Pray for Paula. We want to see her saved and set free. Gloriously set free, you know, and released into her community to touch people's lives with the love of Jesus. You know, it's when our faith stops, and when we stop putting our faith in Christ, that's when we look inwardly. But as we continue to say, Lord, I can't do this, but in you I can. In you all things are possible. That's what your word says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to build yourselves up. Keep telling yourself these things. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. You know, I gave some papers out a couple of years ago with about 40 different things on it, say, telling you who you are in Christ. I wonder how many people have looked at them since. You need to look at them every week. Pull them out and say, this is who I am. You know, this is what this week has told me I am. I am, or I am not. But this is what the Bible says I am. This is who I am. We need to remind ourselves. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not, oh dearie, dearie, dearie me. You know, what a week. You know, yeah, it may have been an oh dearie, dearie week, but next week's going to be different. Because next week I'm going to be full of faith. I'm going to be trusting in God. You know, and just really believing in it. Our faith is not in it. That day, that man who has been lame for 40 years got up immediately. You know, and it's a miracle, a notable miracle. Are you believing for a notable miracle in this place? Something, you know, that will happen, just like this guy at the gate. 40 years he'd lay there. And suddenly, boom, one prayer of faith. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Yeah, we always want to have silver and gold to give. We need to be starting giving out of hearts that are full of faith, full of good things. We don't need silver and gold. We just need the love of Jesus to touch people's lives. Silver and gold helps sometimes, don't get me wrong. But in essence, we just need the love of Christ. It's working, coursing through our veins to go out and to touch people with the love of Jesus. You see, the devil can cheat us of breakthrough by getting us to look inwards at ourselves and look outwards to what Jesus did. And that brings me to Colossians that we went through earlier on. And I just want to pick out a couple of verses in here. And that is like verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men. What are the traditions of men? Well, you can all have your own traditions of men. Yeah, some things, traditions in your family, some things that you tried and failed in the past. All these things prevent us from doing what God has called us to do. We can let the traditions of men, the basic principles of the world, you know, what's the world saying? The world's saying all sorts of stuff. You know, the world is persecuting the church. The world is standing against it. We see all sorts of things going on in the world that we don't like or we don't agree with. You know, but we can let these things colour the way that we approach our relationship with God, and we don't see it. It's like a stealth thing. It creeps in. You just sit in front of a TV that gives you bad news all day long on Sky for every 15 minutes. The headlines every 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes. And I'm being guilty of this. I've sat there sometimes with this thing in the background, and every 15 minutes I've been fed with murder, with this, with tragedy, with all sorts of things. And you feed yourselves every 15 minutes with the headlines, and it could go. I tell you what, if we fed ourselves with this every 15 minutes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I tell you what, we will be different people, and we take on stuff in this world today. Different, because it is what it births itself in our heart. We so often let the stuff, the bad news, the disappointments, the grief, the heartache, just fill us and fill us and fill us. We want to go and give. It's like as if my guitar strings, you go, ooh. And no matter how you tune it, you can't tune it back up because they've had it. And you've got to come to God and say, God, I am so empty. I am so lacking. You know, fill me to overflowing. My prayer for us as a church, we enter 2011 running. When the rubber hits the road, January the 1st, Pat's birthday, we want to be running. Not just working ourselves up, saying, I will be fit by the end of the month. You know, we just need to be prepared. And I just challenge you, church, the few days we have left before the end of the year, just seek the Lord. While he still may be found, there's going to come a time when we're not going to be able to. We have opportunity at this moment to move on with God. And that verse 20 here in Colossians 2. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles, in other words, you know, when we in baptism we say like we're buried with Christ, raised up into new life. So therefore, if you're buried with Christ, if you've given your heart to the Lord and he's made a difference in your life, you know, and he's freed you from the basic principles of the world, okay? Why, it says, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to the regulations? God has set us free. Christ has set us free. Yet so often we shackle ourselves again with the stuff of the world. We just feed ourselves negativity, bad stories, bad talk, you know, mixed with the wrong people. And constantly we're getting this constant feed of negativity. Woe is me. What? You know, my Jesus is alive. And this book tells me he's alive. And it tells me that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that's what he's saying to the church today. I really believe God is saying to the church, don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let the world cheat you of what God has for you. You know, if you died with Christ, if you've given your heart to the Lord, then why are you letting the world limit what you can do in him? And I'm challenging my heart this morning as well. Andrew, why are you letting the world limit what you can do? You know, I have the same things as you have. I have the same disappointments, the same hurts, the same fears, everything. And these things can limit what God wants to do in my life, in our life as a couple, in the life of this church, you know, and it can limit everything. Because we almost, like I said at the beginning, we could almost believe we belong to a flat earth society. If everybody out there says the earth is flat, after a while of being indoctrinated by this, it seems like the earth is flat and we've got nothing about it. We can do something about it. This word says who we are in Christ, and we can be set free to do what he wants us to do. Our God is a God without limits. I'm not going to go there because time's flying, but Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 talks about enlarging the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. You know, church, we have spared for too long. God is calling us to be unsparing. Unsparing in our love, unsparing in our giving, unsparing in our working together, unsparing as we just seek God's heart and touch this nation and touch this area with the love of Christ. It says, do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your... How do you strengthen your stake? If you've got a stake, how do you strengthen it? You drive it harder into the ground. And God wants us, I believe, using this word here, to let this word drive itself into our hearts, that we're strengthened in Him and we can go and do what He's called us to do. You know, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And also in Isaiah 49, 19 and 20, it talks about when Israel comes back, they'll just say, this place is too small for me. Yeah. I haven't got time to really dwell and go into this morning, but you read it when you get home. Isaiah 49, 19, 20 talks about the nation coming back from captivity into a place that is too small. Church, this building will be too small if we can catch hold of what Christ is saying into our hearts, if we can be challenged to go and to do as He's calling us to do. This place will be too small. It actually says that He will bring new sons in replacement for the ones that have gone. New sons will be brought in, and this place will be too small. A word for the nation of Israel, I believe it's a word for us as a church. God is going to be bringing in new sons. But we have a part to play in seeing these new sons come in. God is calling us to go and to sow and to give. Even in this time of famine, and financially for this church at the moment, financially it's not good. You know, but God hasn't brought us this far to fail. God has brought us to this place so we can change up the gear and go to a new level with Him. You know, to believe. We get complacent. We put roots down. We make somewhere home. There's nothing wrong in that. But God says, move on. Time to move on. Time to step up. Then they had a word in the back room this morning about the steps. Yeah, there are steps. God has got steps in front of us to move on. And I really want to challenge you this morning. You know, can you see this place too small for you? A couple of years ago you could. Things have happened. I don't know. But I really believe, you know, that this place will be too small because God's bringing sons and daughters into this place to fill this place, because He wants to fulfill what His word says. And He won't do it with 30 or 40. He wants hundreds and thousands of people brought into the kingdom that He can touch this nation. This nation, maybe, in fact, disciples, there was only 12. You know, but it took more than 12 to touch the world. But that 12 were prepared to go and do and touch other lives, and the lives they touched went on to touch the world, and so happens today. This place is too small. How big is our thinking this morning? How big are we limiting God? Are we limiting Him to, you know, to what we see? Or who do we see? Like, is it Elijah with his, or Elisha with his servant? You know, servant just saw the armies come in battle. But Elisha saw the angelic hosts that were surrounding them. What do you see this morning? You know, do you see empty chairs, or do you see God's possibilities in this place? But they start with you, and they start with me, and that's how it happens. Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honour. I remember this was a thing of Dr. George a couple of years ago that he brought us for when we fasted in January a couple of years ago. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honour, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be there. This is God's promise to us. And you, can you believe for double? I know somebody that Blin Pete No lost her home when it fell down on Camposol, and Blin gave her a word, let's believe for double. And this woman was given a house more than double the meterage by Massa, given a swimming pool where she had no swimming pool before, a house bigger than the house she originally had. You know, and it's amazing. You step out in faith, you say some things sometimes, you almost want to check yourself and say, oh, Lord, what have I said? Might get a classico. Or something smaller. Rebecca, whatever it is. But no, you know, Neptuno. Big. Big, you know. It takes guts. It took Will Graham guts to give me that word that when I go back to Spain, God's got a new car for me. You know. You step out someplace and say, wow, what have I said? You know, let's believe the things that God does in our heart. Hold on to them. 2 Corinthians, I put here, 9:6-10, talks about abundance, sufficiency, multiplication, increase. Church, it's time to raise the bar. We've been jumping over 4'6" for too long. God says, I want 5 foot next year. Can you do it? Yes, we can. We can do it through Christ, who strengthens us. Faith receives the promises of God. When we stand in faith, we're receiving the promises this word gives to us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. I can do. No matter how many different ways you say it, emphasis on whatever word you want to say, it says the same. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ. You may in yourself think, I can't. I don't know the Bible. I encourage you, get to know it. Let it fill your heart. I've never reached out, I've never gone and prayed for somebody spontaneously before. Go and do it. I'll tell you what, the blessings it will bring to you, you will never, ever forget. Step out of the box we put ourselves in. We are not, say that again, we are not fear people, we are faith people. You know? And sometimes we can live in fear. Live in fear about this, live in fear about that. No. No, we are faith people. Faith people. We need to trust God and believe His word. His word is constant. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will not make it good? God is not a man that He should lie. This word is life and truth for every one of us here. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. These words written here, this is still the best, I think I'm right, Duncan, about it. This is still the best and most would top the charts at books being bought. Scripture, the Bible is still number one in the hit parade in the world. I don't know how many people read it, but I certainly imagine in the place like China and Russia, the suppressed nations of the world, this is precious. You know, when we can just value this as precious, the way that people that have not been allowed to read it value it as precious, we'll turn the matter on upside down. We will. Because we always hunger for this, for a verse, for a scripture, for a part of it. We need to go beyond what is normal, or usual, or expected. If we're going to receive, I read this in a book recently, and it said these words, if we are going to receive like we have never received, we are going to have to sow like we have never sown before. I'll read it again. It's worth reading again. If we are going to receive as a church, as individuals, as couples, if we are going to receive like we have never received, we are going to have to sow like we have never sown before. The Bible says, even in a time of famine, you cannot afford not to sow. Cannot afford not to sow. And another thing I read recently was, I have never received more by sowing less, which really ties up with that. You know, I have never received more by sowing less. And it's the same as us, you know, when we sow into God's word, you know, the more we sow, the more we receive. The less we read it, the less we do the call that God has placed on us, we're not going to grow, we're not going to sow more by doing less. We always receive more by sowing more. Maybe it's famine time, but I really believe that God's got something up his sleeve for us, you know, and it's going to happen when we start to really believe and walk in the truths of this word, and we're going to see some amazing things happen. If we're going to receive like we've never received, so if we want 2011 to be a year of increase, we're going to have to do some sowing. And you take that whatever way you want to. You can take that financially, you can take that spiritually, you can take that in what we do physically, but we'll never ever receive more by doing less. God calls us to do more and to do more and to receive from him. With God, our God, there is always more. Always. He's a God of abundance. He's not a God of miserly bits. He's a God of a full table. And this table may just be bread and wine this morning, but there is a fullness about this table this morning that's special. Yeah? This is life and health and strength for you and for me. This is life. This is the life of our Saviour laid before us here this morning. That's what we're remembering. Maybe symbolic, just bread and wine, but it has far, far deeper meanings. Don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let him cheat you of what God has for you. I challenge you. Take the treasures from his word and use them in 2011. I know you will get blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Your life will never, ever, ever be the same again. It's a challenge I throw out to you. There's not a full church here. There's people missing today. But even when you see them, tell them God's challenge. Ephesians 3:20, to him who exceedingly, abundantly can provide all that we can ever ask or think or imagine. That's the God we serve.